number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You know the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Oh, glad you can be with us as we take you through the night tonight here on Yahoo Sports Radio. If you'd like to participate in the program tonight, 800-777-2907. If you want to do that, that's kind of like a radio old-fashioned way, call-in program. But if you'd like to do it the more social media way, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. A lot on the plate today. We got a lot of basketball to get to in the NCAA tournament. We continue to look at the Sweet 16. NFL's making news. It always does. There's always something to buzz about as a couple of new rule changes were implemented. Nothing too major, but still they're trying to throw some stuff out there. Even college football with Jim Harbaugh throwing some darts at Ohio State, who's trying to throw it right back. We are going to get into the Indiana Hoosiers with Mike Pegram. He joins us from rivals.com. That's at the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes from now. Tom Crean, just give you a quick background. Tom Crean arrived in Bloomington, and the Hoosiers at the time, remember Calvin Sampson? I mean, he had that team that was a mess. They were getting, NCAA was all over him. It was just a disaster. He came in from Marquette, cleaned it up a little bit, had the team kind of playing well. They went to the tournament and all that good stuff, right? It was, feel like it was going well. Then a couple of bad years really hit the Hoosiers hard, and this year he was on the hot seat pretty well. In fact, there was a couple of people who thought, wow, Indiana's got to make a run in this tournament or Tom Crean's going to be out of a job. Well, he beats Kentucky in a very big, big win. It just wasn't big because, hey, it got him to the Sweet 16. A lot of bad blood between the schools because Kentucky and, John Calipari in particular wanted the Indiana game to be in a neutral site. A lot of it is split the revenue because when Kentucky travels, they travel well. So there's a natural belief to get a piece of that. And you wanted to do neutral site games, and they said, no, we want you to come to Bloomington and Assembly Hall here. And they said no. So they discontinued this rivalry, this series that had been around for quite a while. It was kind of cool to have. It was one of those college basketball things that you could count on. So this became a big, big win for Indiana. Now they'll go play North Carolina. So we'll get the take on the Hoosiers coming up at the bottom of the hour. I mentioned earlier tonight, Peyton Manning is not going to retire a Colt. Instead, he's going to stay with Denver. I don't know why that's such a big deal, but apparently it is a big deal. You know what? It's the same thing with when Hall of Fame guys want to pick the hat. You know, there's like, oh, yeah, what hat is he going to wear? He played for multiple teams. What hat is he going to wear? Fan bases just, they want something to gripe about. And it always is that case. They always feel slighted or whatnot. When in reality, your life isn't going to be better or worse because a guy chooses a hat for the Hall of Fame or decides not to sign that one-day contract to retire with your favorite team or with the team he played for a while. I think in Manning's situation, I think he's proud of what he did in Denver. I think he retires as Super Bowl champion with the Broncos. He is not going to officially retire as a member of the Indianapolis Colts and sort of diminish that accomplishment, even though it will just be ceremonial. And I also, I just think he doesn't want to do this again. I don't think he wants to go through the retirement thing again. And, you know, you kind of have to do that. You sign the deal, then the press is going to want to talk to you. They make a big ceremony out of you. You don't do it in the back room somewhere. You do it and make a ceremony out of it. You make it a big deal. I don't think Manning wants to do that. He laid out a well-orchestrated speech, a well-delivered speech. It was one of the best retirement speeches I've ever heard. I mean, it's right up there with one of the better sports speeches of all time. Walk away. Drop the mic. Don't try to top that.
Well, and one thing that's nice for him is the fact, like, why it's such a big deal in baseball is the fact that they wear this hat on their plaque. It's not like his bust is going to have a Broncos helmet on.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, in baseball, you see, you know, Frank Thomas just voted in. He has the White Sox hat on. Or, you know, just different guys, they have that team's hat on, whichever they decide. And that's why it's more of a big deal in baseball. Now, with him, it's just like, okay, he retired a Bronco, but no one's going to remember that. They're just going to remember he played for the Broncos and Colts and won Super Bowls at both.
I think the thing that bothers me is if I'm Manning, because look, I laid out a number of reasons why I think this is not he is trying to be spiteful here. But that is a narrative that is getting played today. And if Manning cares about the kind of thing, I don't know if he does. I would want people to think I'm just this bitter old athlete that is still angry with the team that cut him. I think Manning would be the first person to say, yeah, you know what? If I'm ever going to get into a GM situation, that's exactly what I would do. I mean, if I had a quarterback that was getting to be in his upper 30s and he was coming off neck surgery and I had a chance to draft a franchise quarterback, that's exactly how I would play it. I'd do the exact same thing when I become the general manager of the Titans or wherever the heck he's wherever he might go. So he might have some bitter feelings towards that process. I get it. It hurts when you're no longer wanted. Listen, I remember getting laid off from a station. I remember I was working at a sports station. And they wanted to change it to this classic country. And that meant me and my producer were out of jobs. And it was not, there was no, you did terrible for us. It was just, hey, we're going in this different direction and we're sorry, but this is where we're going. And they were as cool as they could be about it. It just came down from corporate, and I was just a casualty of it. And I had worked 4 years there. I had built up a brand. I had built up the station. I kind of helped, you know, put it on the map a little bit. I was really excited. We had won some awards. I felt like those things, that was currency in the bank, and it wasn't. And I was really hurt. I mean, I was really devastated. What Manning went through, that's multiply that by 1,000, if not more than that, in terms of being a guy that changed the culture of a city. In a state, and then getting shown the door like that, I'd be bitter too. I'd be mad too. But I think Manning is doing it because, look, the Broncos, they were the team that gave him the second chance, and it worked out. It worked out. And again, to him, he walked away like Elway walked away, right? Elway didn't walk away by signing a one-day contract to a team he never played for or something being ceremonial like that. Elway walked away as a champion, right? He walked away as a champion. He didn't walk away signing some one-day contract doing a ceremony. I don't think Manning wants to do that. So if the narrative starts to become, well, he's a bitter guy. He owes it to the people. I would, if I was Manning, I'd nip that in the bud a little bit. I know he doesn't care about it as much as I do, but that's still an image thing.
I'm trying to think back. I mean, I can't really think of any football players who have really done it. You know, sign the one
Emmett,
day.
I think Emmitt Smith
Emmitt
did.
Emmitt Smith did, yes. Yeah. I did remember that one. But we see it a lot more frequently in baseball.
Like, yeah, we see it in baseball
Joey
a lot.
Joey Figgins just did it with the Angels, I think, 2 days ago.
Yeah, see it in baseball a lot.
Yeah, but it just football, I can't recall a lot of people, you know. Like, I don't know if Joe Montana did it.
Did
the
Jerry Rice do it?
See,
I remember Jerry Rice in camp with the Broncos.
Yeah.
And that was the last I heard of him.
That's right. I completely forgot about that.
Right? Yeah. I remember that. And he didn't make the team. Right. That was the last I heard of him. But I don't know if he did that or not.
See, that's why I'm glad Peyton's going out like he is.
Just
not like, I don't want to see like Jerry Rice in a camp not making a team.
Yeah,
and then
I know,
just going
right?
Away.
We're like, hey, look, son, that's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, not being able to keep up.
Why does he suck, Dad?
Yeah, why? Really, Dad? You sure about that? Yeah, no, trust me. It was like 20 years ago.
He's amazing.
He was unbelievable.
Broke all kinds of records.
I'll show you YouTube.
He's just old now.
Yeah. Just ugh.
That's why I'm so glad he's leaving, because I didn't want to see him out there like struggling to throw the ball, and then a team being like, you know, like the Rams being like, you know what? We're going to go with Case Keenum.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear like, Chris Berman and Tom Jackson are in the fall going, Tommy, you know, he used to be really good. Ah. Right. Yeah, he's struggling with the Rams. Jeez, I just didn't want that.
Yeah.
Poor Manning. Peyton Manning.
And now the Broncos don't have a quarterback.
Now they don't have a quarterback. Well, that was really interesting stuff with Renault.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I don't know, man. I still think the Broncos could have gotten a deal done. I totally think they could have gotten a deal done with Osweiler. I don't know why they waited.
Yeah.
Just sit down and go, hey, what's it going to take to get you here?
Out.
And then they're always like, well, Elway didn't want to pay. You know, you overpay for quarterbacks. It's not noble to save money.
If you're willing to go to 16, you're willing to go to 18.
Yeah, come on. You can work out these contracts. Yeah. You can work it out, make it more of a bonus. I mean, you can finagle. Look at what teams are doing with contracts on the cap. Hey, we turned the roster bonus into this, or we turned this salary into a signing bonus. If you have a good capologist, you can turn the extra money and still find a way to save it against the cap. There's plenty of ways to work it. Look, I'm gonna have to save this because I'm gonna end up going on a rant on when people are proud of their NFL team for not overpaying. What are you proud for? I mean, I don't understand. You don't see it on the other end. All right, 800-777-2907. I do want to get into Jim Harbaugh, and Adam, you're gonna have to give me your take on this, Mr. Michigan, because this is fun now with the Wolverines and Buckeyes with Jim Harbaugh. We'll give you that story next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, I said this earlier when Jim Harbaugh was at Michigan this season when he went down to Florida with his team. I think Jim Harbaugh is a breath of fresh air to a stuffy college football world. I think it's fun. I think he's doing things and getting underneath the skin of the right people. I think the SEC did need to get slapped around a little bit because they do have an arrogance about them, and Harbaugh seems to be a perfect guy to do that. But in the end, Michigan is about Ohio State, and Ohio State is about Michigan. So you really got to kick it into gear trying to get under the Buckeyes' skin, and Harbaugh is doing just that. But it actually started with Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith, who he was asked about Michigan going down to Florida and having the practice in Bradenton and the IMG Academy. And he said, quote, "If we were jump-starting our program, I'd try to do that too, but we're not jump-starting our program." He told that to 11warriors.com. Is that a football website? Is that an Ohio State website, or is that a generic college football website?
Must be. I've never heard of it.
11warriors.com. That sounds very generic to me. So Jim Harbaugh says, good to see Director Smith being relevant again after the tattoo fiasco. Welcome back. Well done, Jim Harbaugh. This is great. By the way, the tattoo fiasco at Ohio State was one of the stupidest things I had ever seen in college football. In my life, you know how sometimes you see things that escalate to a point where you're like, how the hell did we get here? Jim Tressel lost his job over tattoos, over the cover-up of tattoos. If that doesn't make you go, what the heck? That was the silliest thing. I still could not believe how quickly that escalated. Bunch of guys in Ohio State, they trade merchandise for tattoos. They're getting tattoos. Tressel covers it up for whatever dumb reason that was, because he wanted them to play in the Sugar Bowl, I guess. And then before you know it, things spiraling out of control, and Jim Tressel had to lose his job. Good to see Jim Harbaugh, though. This is great. This is fun. Why would people not see this for what it is? This is a blast. His jabs at the SEC, his jabs at Ohio State. Come on. This is perfect. And he's the perfect guy to do this.
I'm seeing a lot of people talking about, AD didn't say anything wrong. He was just kind of stating facts. No, that's
facts?
A bunch of bull crap, because you know if you're talking about Michigan, anything you say is going to be looked at as a jab. So if he really thinks that, then you're sadly mistaken.
First of all, he used the word jump-starting a program.
Right.
I think Michigan, it's not that it's jump-starting. I mean, I wouldn't call it that. They had a good year last year. He's continuing the process.
Yeah.
That seems to be a slight to me. When you're calling what Michigan is over the last year or so jump-starting, that seems silly. But good for Jim Harbaugh to strike back.
All these guys that have said anything on this situation are just mad they did not think of what he thought of.
Exactly. Exactly right. Look, and I understand how this game is played, right? When you get hired for a school, you've got to sort of play the line, even if you don't want to. Steve Spurrier knew how to do this really well at South Carolina. I can tell you right now, he had a lot of respect for Dabo Swinney. A lot of respect. He can't say anything good about Dabo Swinney while he's at South Carolina. You can't. You can't say anything good about Phil Fulmer when you're the head coach of Florida. You have to take shots at Bobby Bowden in Florida State. It's what the fan base wants. It's what the fan base wants you to do. So here's Harbaugh, who understands that completely. And this is why this kind of stuff should be seen in that context. Ohio State takes a little jab at Michigan. Why? Because they were Ohio State. They're supposed to take a jab at Michigan. And Harbaugh is supposed to strike back. Why? Because he's at Michigan. And he's supposed to feel good about his program. He's supposed to be a full, feel good about his alma mater and the place that he works. I was happy that Jim Harbaugh went right after the SEC whiners and elitists. I was very, very glad for that, even as an SEC guy. Because I don't toe that line with that conference. I think they are elite, and I think they do think that they're high above, and I do think there is this do not pass go, do not collect $200 sort of aspect to the SEC when you go into their territory. Lord knows they've had problems with ACC schools trying to recruit in places like Alabama and Georgia, for crying out loud. And Georgia Tech is in the state. So I understand more than a lot of people the culture and the elitism of the SEC. Do I still think it's the best conference in football? Yes. Am I still proud of its accomplishments? Am I proud that my school is in it? Yes. Do I want it slapped around a little bit? Of course I do. Because I don't think that sort of elitism is very good. I mean, Lord, listen, when I was at the SEC basketball championship, the aura of SEC-ism hovers over that place like a cloud, and it's crap basketball. I can't imagine what it's like talking football when you're at all the football events. Must be insane. So here's Jim Harbaugh, who goes down to Florida and the SEC schools don't like it. And he goes, pow, 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 pow. I don't care. Now here's Ohio State, a team he should be doing that to. And he gives it right back to them. Reminds them of a dark time in their school's history. Because like I said earlier, I don't care how anybody spins that. Jim Tressel losing his job for tattoos is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in college sports. And I've seen dumb things in college sports. It should have never escalated to that. Silly. It's not like he bribed players with prostitutes or anything like that. It was tattoos, for crying out loud. The guy lost his job. Stupid. And if I'm Harbaugh, yeah, that's a dark time for Ohio State. Even though they got Urban Meyer eventually out of the deal, they probably graded up. That still was a dumb thing, dumb process. And Harbaugh reminding him of that, good for him. Good for him.
What I want to know is, and I'm hoping this happens, what if Harbaugh wins a national championship in the next 2 years? What is he going to be like then?
Oh, I know, right? Like right now, he doesn't have any currency. He doesn't have any currency. He's doing this on credit. He's doing all of this on credit. Like eventually, I'm going to be really, really good. I'm going to really be the king of this sport. Right now, I'm just borrowing the money.
I mean, look what he's done in just a year and, 3 months?
God.
So 15 months, look what he's done to college football. Nobody can quit talking about him.
Coming through like a flame torch.
Yeah.
This is like Donald Trump doing this to the Republican Party.
Seriously.
Burning everything to the ground. It's exactly what Jim Harbaugh is doing. And I think it's great because like I said, that's sort of the thing that this sport needs every now and then. It needs to be rivalries are real, real stuff, man. And people love it when the coaches and everybody's in on it. They love that too. That it's not just for show. So when a coach goes to a basketball game and he says, in 347 days, they want to believe that coach is into that as they are. And with Harbaugh, you don't have to guess because he already comes in with hatred for Ohio State as a former player. Like, you know, Urban Meyer probably just doesn't like Michigan, but, you know, he didn't go to Ohio State. It's not like he's bred with that way. Oh, maybe he's from, is he from Ohio?
I believe he is from Ohio.
All right, maybe he's got that in him. All right, well, I'll use my own example. Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier didn't come to South Carolina with already a hatred for Clemson. There's no reason for him to hate Clemson. He's a Florida Gator. He hated Florida State all his life. So when he got to South Carolina and he was like, yeah, Clemson, yeah, well, you know, Dabo's doing, yeah, well, just keep beating them. Like, people just ate it up because it was just the stuff they want to hear. They want to hear the head coach go, yeah, Clemson can't win a game, and, you know, we just keep beating them every time. Ah. I love Steve Spurrier. I'm going to miss that guy. Because Will Muschamp, ugh, can't wait for football season. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. We'll talk Indiana basketball next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us as we continue to look ahead to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. And the Indiana Hoosiers, fresh off that win against Kentucky, will go up against North Carolina. Mark Pegram joins us from Rivals.com. He covers the Hoosiers. Give us an inside look at Tom Crean's crew. How are you, my friend?
Good to be here. Looking forward to this week.
All right, let's get some house cleaning out of the way here. Robert Johnson, how is his ankle, and is he going to play against the Tar Heels?
It's very much up in the air because Tom Crean said he's iffy. That's usually a bad sign. He has had a high ankle sprain, which is really the toughest one to have. You really need to sit out several weeks. And he came down on it the wrong way late in the first half and was walking with a pronounced limp the rest of the game, did not play in the second half. You know, I could see him possibly giving it a go, but he puts a lot of lift in his jump shot. I just don't see him being the same player, even if he plays. So that's going to be a real blow for Indiana.
Coming off that win against Kentucky, I know the history between the two schools. If you could give us a little bit of a primer on the history of the two schools and how they just kind of discontinued their rivalry and actually what this win meant to the Indiana program.
Well, Indiana hadn't had a marquee win in the NCAA tournament in a few years, hadn't beat a higher-seeded team, and this got it done. And that the double bonus, because they did it against Kentucky, the team that had knocked them off in the Sweet 16 and had refused to play Indiana at home anymore, which was the basis, I think, for the ending of that long-time series just 4 years ago. You know, it ended with, you know, Indiana with a huge win, Christian Watford shot and so forth, and they really liked playing those games in Bloomington. But John Calipari really wanted to do it at neutral sites, and Indiana did not agree, and so that led to the parting of the ways. And so, you know, only the NCAA tournament has brought them together since.
So when Tom Crean got to Indiana, he takes over a program that was kind of in a mess. He gets them back up a little bit, and then they kind of goes back. Then I keep hearing that he's on the hot seat and he really had to do something in this tournament. How hot was that seat for Tom Crean this year?
It was pretty warm, especially after they really stunk it up in Maui and lost two games, including one to Wake Forest and UNLV, teams that didn't even, you know, come close to making the NCAA tournament this year. And then came home and promptly were blown out by Duke in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. The thing was, they weren't playing any defense back then. And somehow, you know, in the month after that, he got the players to buy in to play in defense. They played a little bit more focused and quietly turned it around. And the rest of the nation began to notice, you know, in February. But it happened in late December. Maybe in the middle of that Notre Dame game, they were down 16 points in the middle of the second half and somehow come out with a victory. And that built their confidence. From that point on, they've been a really good team and probably were underseeded at number five.
In terms of being on the hot seat in Indiana, is it all about wins and losses, or is there things that he does that rubs people the wrong way? Or is it just, hey, we're Indiana, we're used to being really good, and we need you to be on another level?
Well, Indiana fans a little more sophisticated. They really get in their X's and O's, and they criticize substitution patterns. They really get into the NCAA performance, and right now Tom Crean has never taken a team past the Sweet 16. They just have high expectations of what they see, and they didn't like the defense. They didn't like him trying to switch defenses in the middle of possessions between zone and man. There were a lot of things that kind of, you know, brought the ire, especially of the older fans that have lived through the Bob Knight days and those well-schooled teams in the 70s and 80s. You know, they have high expectations for the program with those five national titles. You know, it's just the way it is at some programs. And even though he hasn't been up there in a while, they still think that they can be as good as anybody.
Mike Pegram joins us, Rivals.com, on the Indiana Hoosiers will take on North Carolina. All right, let's get into this game. The point guards, Yogi Ferrell against Marcus Paige. How different are these two guys and what they do for their respective teams?
Well, Yogi is smaller and quicker, a much better shooter. Well, Marcus has the length and is, you know, a tremendous passer and does a lot of other things. So they are a little bit of a contrast. They go back to the same class. They were both McDonald's All-Americans together. They're both from the Midwest. They know each other really well. So we're looking forward to seeing them match up because there was a lot of debate in high school who was the better guy because they always ranked really close to each other.
Yeah, haven't they played together a lot? I read somewhere where they've kind of grew up together, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Indiana and Iowa, you know, are close together, so they would meet in a lot of Midwest AU tournaments. And then as they became top 25 players, they would get together at All-Star games and some of the things that, you know, bring top-ranked players together. And because they were point guards, you tend to gravitate to the same guys at the same position. And they're both, you know, really sharp guys and you know each other well.
North Carolina is a pretty complete team, but one of the faults that they have coming in, or one of the Achilles' heels, is their perimeter defense isn't very good. Is Indiana's three-point shooting good enough to take advantage of that?
Yeah, Indiana's probably, I think, the best shooting team in the nation. Now, without Robert Johnson, it takes a step down. But, you know, the numbers show, you know, that how well a shooting team they are. They didn't have a great shooting game in Kentucky and still won, which is a good sign for them. They were terrific in the first round. They hit 63% of their threes against Chattanooga. They broke the school record with 19 threes in one Big Ten game. Actually, it was a Big Ten record. You really don't find a better shooting team. And a lot of that is because Yogi Ferrell has that drive and dish ability, and they also have a presence in the paint in Thomas Bryant, so you can get all inside-out threes. So they're really dangerous in that regard. They have, you know, it may be a case of can their threes overcome the size and the post scoring from Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to get to the size situation for North Carolina. Where is the answer for Indiana to that situation for the Tar Heels?
Well, you know, I think Thomas Bryant can't get into foul trouble. It's been a little bit of an issue for him in the NCAA tournament and other games. He picked up two against Kentucky, and they kind of weathered the storm. The answer, I don't know. In the starting lineup, you look at the matchup, somebody's going to take advantage of maybe Colin Hartman or whoever Indiana puts at the four position across from Thomas Bryant. But OG Anunoby, a freshman, is 6'8", and really about 235 now. And he's about the best defensive player I've ever seen in Indiana. He made the huge plays against Kentucky down the stretch with blocks on Jamal Murray. He can guard, I think, anything from a four to a point guard. And, you know, has really come on and been that defensive lift. And one of the reasons that Indiana's improved his defense since early December.
Mike, I want to get back to the season because you mentioned a couple of times this year where Indiana didn't look the part. All in all, is this a surprise that they're here, or did you sense that this team was good if they got things together and could put out a season like this?
Well, you have to remember that they were, you know, around 15th in the nation in the preseason polls. They brought in a lot of talent. They kind of found the missing piece when they recruited Thomas Bryant, you know, a 6'10 McDonald's All-American who's now like second or third in the country in field goal percentage. So they kind of found that missing piece. It's just they came out and just fell flat. And everybody thought, well, they can't play defense. And last year they did struggle all year guarding people. The potential was there. I think when they started blowing teams out in the Big Ten in the first 2 weeks, that was like, hey, this is at least they're passing the eye test for a really good team. And the seeding was because of what happened in non-conference. They didn't really beat anybody except Notre Dame, and they had a little unbalanced Big Ten schedule. But normally, you know, they went 15-3 in the Big Ten. That's a huge deal. And, you know, they were, you know, but for a long time, though, nobody thought that this team was just going to, you know, not realize its potential because they couldn't guard people. They figured that out.
Does Tom Crean have the complete attention of his team? And what I mean by that, you know, coaches, there are guys that just the players will just fight for all the time. Does Crean have that with his Hoosiers?
Yeah, I think this group he does. And really, I think he did last year. 2 years ago, he lost that team a little bit, and then, you know, they didn't even make the NIT. But he has the focus of this team, and maybe that early season, those early season troubles, you know, got the guys thinking that they had, you know, they did have things in control and they had to really listen to what the coaches were saying. And they gutted it up. And they do have great senior leadership from Yogi Ferrell, Max Biefeld, you know, Nick Seisloff. That's really kind of gotten them through those early rough patches.
Mike Pegram again, Rivals.com on the Indiana Hoosiers. We'll take on North Carolina in the Sweet 16. Great talking to you, Mike. Great insight. I appreciate it.
All right, sir. Take care.
All right, coming up next, Brock Osweiler is a Houston Texan. Why is he a Houston Texan? Bob McNair came up with a really interesting reason as to why the former Bronco is in Houston. I'll tell you what it is next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Oh, glad you can be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Man, good stuff on the Indiana Hoosiers. Interesting thing with Tom Crean there. Indiana's got a very, very, very intelligent fan base when it comes to hoops. Very intelligent. So, but hot seat, warm seat, that's what you sign up for when you coach the Indiana basketball program. Steven on Twitter, and again, you can tweet us at Tony D Radio. As an Ohio State fan, I'm loving this with Harbaugh. Fire shots all you want. We'll just shine up our championship trophy. That's what I'm talking about, Steven. Now you get the game. That's awesome. Well, I'm not saying you get the game. You already knew the game, but that's exactly why I like this. I don't have a dog in the fight between Michigan and Ohio State. I just want rivals to be real rivals. Cut out the niceties. I like it when they dig each other. It's fun. It's good for the fans. Keeps the thing real. And again, I liked it when Harbaugh dug at the SEC because somebody's got to dig at the SEC. Nobody else was strong enough to do it. Remember when the Longhorn Network was launching and the SEC lost its mind over that? That was the closest another conference had said, shut up. Big 12 when the Longhorns were launching that. Big 12's got a problem with that in and of itself. I think Mike Gundy wants it to shut it down.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Is the Longhorn Network working, though? Is it working for Texas like the way people thought?
No, they thought it was going to be like the Yes Network for the Yankees and
right.
That kind of stuff, and it's just not. Supposedly it just sucks money, and it doesn't.
I don't think I've watched 1 second of it. I don't think I have it.
No, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
So people thought Texas was just going to be this massive juggernaut, just Scrooge McDuck money, just swimming in this pile of cash.
Right. It's,
you kind of forget you have to come up with programming, and you have to do
yeah.
stuff isn't cheap. Especially when you want to do, games. I mean, people don't realize this. Sporting events are the most expensive things to produce.
Yep.
Not saying for networks, because sometimes you pay Friends $1 million an episode, but all of that camera stuff and all that stuff, the preparation time, and it's hard to make those things profitable. A lot of times those networks, the ratings that they get outside of the Super Bowl, the ratings that the networks get for sporting events are really used as promotional vehicles for the things that really make the money. Yeah, if they break even or make a little bit of money on something on a Saturday or an NBA game, they're fine. That's cool, but it's a lot. Producing sports is a lot. And they thought Texas was just, they thought the recruits were going to pour in. They thought the money was going to pour in. It was going to be a really unfair advantage. And I don't think it really has been.
And the other thing is you got to get people to watch Texas gymnastics or
that's right.
hockey or, whatever. I don't even know if they have hockey, but just the different sports that in the off season of football, You have to watch baseball, that kind of stuff. And they just probably don't get any kind of ratings on that stuff.
And you want to talk about it. I mean, listen, I love my school, but I ain't watching South Carolina softball. Right. I mean, my God. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'm not going to come home. I have a friend of mine who's a big Gator fan, and he likes to put on Twitter all of the accomplishments of, like, their swim team and stuff. And I just laugh at him. I go, I'm not trying to pick on those sports because my kid may want to be a swimmer someday. But, I mean, I'm sorry to be so rude, but it's like if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it. I mean, that's the way some of this stuff is.
Yeah. I mean, I'll turn on the Big Ten Network and, there'll be swimming on or something. I've never been like, okay, let's watch some swimming. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Every once in a while, maybe I'll watch some wrestling or something like that, but it's for 15 minutes and then I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out and then I'm not coming back.
All right, so Bob McNair, the Houston Texans owner, had some interesting things to say about Brock Osweiler becoming a Texan. And I don't think this helps Brock Osweiler at all. He said, I'll just read the quote. I guess the thing that really helped us in that he does like our offense, and Coach Bill O'Brien gives the quarterback a little more leeway at the line of scrimmage, and all quarterbacks like that. All right, that's fine. That seems like a legitimate reason to become a Houston Texan. But then, hold on. I think that helped. And then, of course, he had to play behind Peyton and with Executive Vice President John Elway there. Their shadows were quite large. He was still going to be under that and compared to them. He had a chance to be a real hero in Houston, and then we got the ball club, so I think those things entered into it. All right, hold on. Are you saying that Brock Osweiler could not handle the pressure of being behind Peyton Manning and John Elway? Because I got to be honest with you. He seemed to have done just fine when he was asked to take over the job when Peyton Manning was screwing it up at the beginning of the season. He didn't seem fazed at all about being the Broncos quarterback when he was leading them to comeback victories over the New England Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals and winning on the road and scoring four touchdowns in the early part of the game against Pittsburgh. I don't think he had a problem with the job. And if I'm Brock Osweiler, I'd be like, hey, Mr. McNair, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. But could you do me a favor? Could you not make me look like I'm some sort of baby that is unable to handle the pressure? If you could just do that for me, that'd be great. No, Brock Osweiler probably went to Houston for a number of reasons. You know, more money seems to be on top of the list, but there may be some other reasons behind it. I don't think he was trying to run from the Broncos, because I think if John Elway had offered him a similar deal, I think he stays in Denver. I have to remind people that at one point he was the prince of the city. At one point, the one and only Rick Riley, of all people, put out on Twitter that the name of the team is the Brock O's. This was about a money deal, and this was probably Brock Osweiler going, hey, I don't think this went down the way I wanted it. And I'm going to go play for Houston. And I don't blame him one bit. Go get the money. If somebody's going to pay you, go get the money. $72 million with $37 million guaranteed for a guy that played seven games. That's where the league is right now. Elway didn't give him that the same amount. There's only loyalty that can go so far. All right, speaking of which, I want to get into that thing I was talking about earlier about fans and being happy about a team saving a few bucks. Yahoo Sports Radio.